God bless you, Yedidim, and shalom, beloved ones. Join me as we go on a journey together, discovering how the writings in the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament connect.
Discovering the Jewish Jesus is shown in approximately 200 countries around the world, ministering the good news of the gospel to those in need.
Coming May 2014, 3 days only, Song of Songs Conference. What viewers are saying about Rabbi Schneider's series, Song of Songs. For the first time, I experienced the love of Jesus. I felt the love of the Father fall on me, and I just started weeping. I began to feel the heaviness lift off of me. I now understand the depth of His love. What a message! Song of Songs Conference, featuring Rabbi Schneider, with special music guests Joshua James and Jill Shannon. Friday, May 16th through Sunday, May 18th. Lion of Judah World Outreach Center, formerly Adat Adonai, where Rabbi Schneider ministers each week. To register or for more information, call 800-240-1303 or visit us at discoveringthejewishjesus.com and click Song of Songs Conference. Seating is limited. Be sure to register today.
Shalom, I'm Cynthia, Rabbi Schneider's wife. Beloved, we have testimonies coming in of God touching and transforming people's lives through this ministry. It's my prayer that today the Lord will touch and transform your life as Rabbi Schneider teaches and preaches God's word.
Shalom, beloved ones, and God bless you, Yedidim. My name is Messianic Rabbi Kurt Schneider. Welcome today to this edition of Discovering the Jewish Jesus. This is the third part in our series on Passover. Let's begin today with prayer. Father God, we want to thank you for revealing yourself to the whole world through your Son, Jesus, the Messiah, the Lamb of God. And Father, I ask today that as we look at the ancient Passover, the ritual, Father God, as well as the biblical elements of it, that you would use it, Father God, to communicate to your people how much you love them. Father, how you were moved by love to send Jesus into the world to be the Lamb of God. And the Father, that your word and your truth would penetrate our hearts today. And that, Father, you would gain greater entrance into each one of our lives, that you draw each one of us closer to yourself. Father God, to walk more obediently and to love you more fully. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' fame we pray. Amen and amen. Beloved, once again, this is the third and final episode in this series on Passover, and we're going to be looking today at some of the elements of the Seder. Now, many of you have heard that when Jewish people celebrate Passover, they have a meal that's called the Seder. And that simply means, the word Seder simply means the order, because there's a particular order of service that we follow when we're celebrating Passover with the Seder meal. Now, this order or this Seder meal is dictated by what we call a book that we use that tells us what to do. It's called the Haggadah. And the word Haggadah simply means the telling, because the highlight of Passover is retelling the story of how our great God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt and brought them to himself and into the promised land. Now, the reason, beloved ones, that this is important for all of us today is because Passover not only had application for the ancient Israelites when Father God delivered them out of Egypt, but Passover also has application for everybody that has a relationship with Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of God. This is why in the book of Revelation, 29 times, Jesus is referred to as the Lamb. The reason he's referred to as the Lamb is because Father is identifying him with the Passover. In other words, the ancient Passover that we read about in the book of Exodus is fulfilled in Messiah Jesus. What the Lord did for the children of Israel physically by delivering them from the bondage of the Egyptians 3,500 years ago, he's still doing today spiritually by delivering his people, out of the spiritual darkness, out of the bondage of demons, out of the bondage of the world and the flesh, to bring us in to the abundant life that he has for us in his Son. So let me say it again. What the Lord did for Israel physically by delivering them from Pharaoh and from the bondage that the Egyptians were subjecting them to, he is doing today spiritually by delivering his people out of spiritual bondage. This is why it's so critical to understand Jesus as the Lamb of God and to develop an appreciation for the Passover. In fact, as I've said on the earlier broadcast, every time that you and I celebrate communion or the Lord's Supper, we're actually celebrating the Passover. When Jesus, when Yeshua lifted up the wine, when he lifted up the juice, when he lifted up the matzah, he said to the disciples, as often as you do this, in other words, partake of the Lord's Supper in his name, as often as you celebrate communion, Jesus said, I want you to do it remembering the Passover. He was actually saying this to his Jewish followers. Whenever you celebrate Passover, he said, I want you to do it in remembrance of me. So communion or the Lord's Supper, beloved, is actually the fulfillment of Passover. And so we partake, beloved, of the Lamb of God, of the blood that covered the children of Israel's doorpost, that protected them from the judgment of sin during the time of the Egyptians. That same blood is fulfilled in Messiah Jesus. It's over our life, protecting us from God's judgment against sin. And even as the Israelites were commanded to eat that Pesach, that Passover lamb, 3,500 years ago, so you and I are commanded to eat Jesus' flesh, to drink his blood, to take him into ourselves, not just to taste him, not just to be religious and go to church once a week, but to truly take Jesus fully into our life, that he will become our life. In fact, the Lord told the children of Israel when they celebrated that first Passover 3,500 years ago, that they were not just to take a little bit of the lamb, but they were to finish it, all of it. And this speaks to us today of how our relationship with Yeshua ought to be. We need to consume him, all of him, beloved. He needs to become our everything for us to fully enter into the deliverance that the Lord has for us. You see, Passover is really the celebration of freedom and deliverance. And in order for Israel to experience that freedom and deliverance 3,500 years ago, the Lord told them they needed to take all of the lamb and eat all of it. And so you and I today, if we're going to truly experience the fullness of the freedom and liberty the Messiah Jesus wants to bring us into, we're going to have to eat all of him. We're going to have to eat his flesh, drink his blood, as the scripture said, fully taking him into our life. Of course, many of you know that I'm literally quoting the scripture here, that Jesus himself said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in yourself. We're not talking about literally, we're talking about spiritually. We're receiving Jesus fully and completely into our life.
Beloved ones, I'm excited. I'm getting ready to go back to Haiti. Let me show you what happened last year.
News of what God did in the evangelistic gathering, with the main speaker being Rabbi K.A. Schneider, has reached globally. Some of the most dramatic testimonies were impaired vision being restored, lumps disappearing, and the lame healed. It's difficult to know exactly how many accepted Christ. You see, the people were so hungry to receive a touch from God that every time we tried to pray a prayer of repentance, every hand seemed to be raised.
Beloved, that was one of the most powerful experiences of my life, to get a greater vision of God's love that goes all around the world. I'm getting ready to go back to Haiti April 21st of this year, and I'll be there for about 10 days. Will you help send me, beloved ones? Without your financial support, I can't carry the good news of King Jesus all around the globe. Thank you for partnering with King Jesus and with me. God bless you and shalom.
Now, back to today's program.
Now, today I'm going to pick up where I left off last time. As I ended the broadcast, beloved ones, last week, I began to talk about the Seder. I began to talk about the different elements of the Seder that we read about in the Haggadah, and I began to teach on what these different elements mean. Now, we began last week by talking about the fact that the Seder meal, the Passover meal, traditionally begins with the lighting of the candles. And I spoke about the fact that it's a woman that lights the candles. And the reason the woman lights the candles is because in Judaism, we believe that it's the woman that sets the spiritual tone or the spiritual atmosphere most often in the home, because women are relational, where oftentimes men are very focused on their work. Women are relational, and they bring that relationship into the home. As believers in Jesus, as those that are celebrating Passover in light of him, I certainly am, we have a woman light the candle additionally because it's through a woman, hallelujah, that Messiah Jesus was born into the world. So I covered that last week. I'm going to continue on today, and we're going to move, beloved, now to the juice or to the wine. Very much a part of the Seder, the Passover meal, we actually partake of the juice or the wine four times, and we say a very simple Hebrew prayer. We say, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Borei Pri HaGafen. It means, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Again, we drink four times, And the first cup we drink is the cup of sanctification. We're setting everything apart. We're setting ourselves apart, the meal apart, the time apart, the celebration apart to the Lord. It's a sanctified time. Now, as we move from partaking of the first cup of wine, and of course I'm moving very, very quickly today because oftentimes the Seder meal will go on for hours. So given the limitation of our time, I'm not doing a full course Seder with you. I'm just helping you to understand some of the different symbolic elements and what they mean. The next thing I want to bring your attention to is that oftentimes the leader of the Seder will wash his hands. And the reason that the leader will wash his hands is because he's ceremonially preparing himself for the meal. He actually does it two times during the course of the meal, once at the beginning and then once later on as a ceremonial washing. And I'm going to talk about that ceremonial washing later on in the demonstration during the broadcast. But we would wash our hands just as we would normally do when we serve a meal. And then we would move, beloved, to the first element on the plate here. I want to talk to you now about what we call the karpis or the parsley. And what we do in the Seder meal that has a spiritual relevance symbolically is we take a piece of parsley or a piece of karpis, we call, and we dip this piece of parsley, and there's different traditions, but I'm dipping it now in the salt water. You can see here I'm holding up some salt water, and I'm going to dip the piece of parsley in the salt water two times. Now, the salt water represents two things. Number one, it represents the sea of reeds that the children of Israel passed through when they moved out of Egypt to the Promised Land. Remember, they had that Red Sea or the Sea of Reeds had to be parted. And so, first of all, the salt water represents the sea that they had to cross through. The second thing that the salt water represents is the tears that the children of Israel shed while they were in Egypt. Knowing that, then, we're going to demonstrate by doing this. We're going to take a piece of karpis, a piece of parsley. I'm going to dip it in the salt water. I'm going to dip it in once for the children of Israel that passed through the sea. They were young and green and in the springtime of their nation. They were just being born, so they were fresh and green. But then I'm going to dip it in a second time, and the second time I dip it in is for Egypt that tried to follow them through the sea. But what happened when Egypt tried to follow Israel through the sea? What happened? Right? Down the hatch they went. They were swallowed up, hallelujah, in the sea of reeds by the power, hallelujah, of Father God. I'm going to move on now to what we call the Afikoman sack. Now, this Afikoman sack is very much a beautiful part of our tradition. There's a lot of mystery that surrounds this Afikoman sack because inside the Afikoman sack are three different compartments. You'll see here one, two, three, and inside each one of these departments are three pieces of matzah. We don't quite know, in terms of all the different interpretations out there, when exactly this tradition originated from. Through careful research, believe that this was instituted by the first believers in Jesus, and that it actually symbolizes the three persons of the Trinity, the Father in one portion, the Son in the second portion, and then the Holy Spirit in the third portion. So what we do with this sack is we take out the middle piece of matzah and we break the middle piece of matzah. We then take this middle piece of matzah and we hide it, and no one knows, and we're especially hiding it for the children, where we're hiding it. Then we take the other piece of matzah, and by the way, we also, as we're hiding it, we wrap it in a linen sack, a linen cloth, I should say. So we wrap it in a linen cloth, and then we hide it. Then we take the other half of the matzah, and we put it back into the Afikoman sack. Again, we believe that this originated during the time of the first believers in Yeshua. During that time in history, Messianic believers in Jesus were not nearly as persecuted as they are today. There were many Jewish people that believed in Jesus. In fact, the first church in Jerusalem was all Jewish. Peter and James spoke about the great number of Jewish people that were coming to faith in Messiah Jesus. So Jewish believers in Jesus at the time that the New Testament was written, the first believers, the first Jewish believers in Jesus were known as Nazarenes. And they were just another sect within the Jewish world because during the time of the New Testament, the Jewish world wasn't consolidated like it is today. In other words, they didn't all believe the same way. We had the Pharisees, we had the Sadducees, We had the Essenes. Many of you that have been to Israel went to see where the Essene community lived and how we believe that the Dead Sea Scrolls were possibly coming out of the Essene community. And then in addition to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, there were other groups, one of which, beloved, was the Messianic Jews, the Nazarene Jews, the Jews that followed Jesus. So they were just one of the many sects. We believe that they started this ceremony of the Afikoman, and then it gradually spread throughout the Jewish world. Now, today within the Jewish world, Jewish people all over the world use the Afikoman during the celebration of Passover, but they have a different interpretation for it. They say that it represents the different classes of Jewish people, and they have other interpretations as well. That's the way it is in the Jewish world. There's many interpretations for different things. They're not all agreeing on many things. That's why even in Jesus' day, when Jesus came to teach, he taught with authority, and they said about him, he does not teach as our scribes and Pharisees, but rather he teaches as one with authority. Because Yeshua said, truly, truly, I say to you. He didn't quote other rabbis. He didn't quote other traditions, but he just said, truly, truly, this is the truth. And so I make that point to simply say that within the Jewish world today, there are many different sects within the Jewish world, different Orthodox leaders within the Hasidic world, and different sects have different traditions. And so we believe, once again, that during the time that the New Testament was written, the Messianic Jews, the Nazarene Jews, were just one of the many sects that they actually were responsible for introducing the Afikoman into the Seder, that the tradition gradually spread to other parts of the Jewish world, and the other parts of the Jewish world just began to give it a different interpretation. We today, beloved ones, still believe that it represents what we believe it originally represented, and that is the three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, as we continue to focus on some of the different elements of the Seder, I want to speak to you today about the horseradish. The horseradish, beloved, is a biblical element of the Seder. There are actually three biblical elements of the Seder, and that is the matzah is commanded to eat in the Bible. The Jewish people were commanded to eat matzah, the unleavened bread. They were commanded to eat the horseradish, the bitter herbs, and they were commanded to eat the lamb. The other elements on the Seder plate, the parsley, the egg. Now I have a shank bone here that represents the lamb because we're no longer eating lamb on Passover in the traditional world of Judaism, because during the time that the scriptures were given, we had the tabernacle and then, eventually the tabernacle and then the temple. And since the tabernacle and the temple are no longer standing and sacrifices are no longer being offered because we have no priesthood, no Levitical priesthood, the Jewish world doesn't eat the Passover lamb as a sacrifice anymore. Again, because the temple is no longer standing. So instead, we just have the shank bone, which symbolizes the lamb, that the lamb is no longer being sacrificed on Passover without a temple, without the sacrifices, without the priesthood. Many of you know that in Israel, there is no central temple anymore. In fact, the Dome of the Rock is in the place now where the great temple of the Jewish world stood. And so without the temple, without the priesthood, without the sacrifices, we just simply use a shank bone as a symbol of the sacrifice of the true lamb that was once offered. So I'm speaking now about the horseradish. And the horseradish, again, it's a biblically commanded element to partake of. And the horseradish is eaten with the matzah, and it's eaten to remember the heartache that the Jewish people experienced while they were in Egypt. It's called the bitter herbs. And so every year when Jewish people celebrate Passover, they have the horseradish mixed on some matzah generally, and they're remembering how bitter their life used to be, but how the Lord, in His goodness and graciousness, delivered them out of Egypt, delivered them out of those bitter times. And I like to encourage people today to remember during Passover where you used to be, some of the ways that the enemy used to bring torment to your life, and now where you are today and how Father has delivered you from many of those areas. We're still on a journey. We have a long way to go. And yet Father God has done so much in our life. And so in eating the bitter herbs, the horseradish, we remember where we used to be, and we are thankful for where we are today, that the Lord has delivered us from many, hallelujah, of those things. I want to speak now about one of the primary elements that all of us are familiar with of the Seder, and that is the matzah. Notice that the matzah, beloved ones, it is striped and pierced. And many people see in this the symbolism of Jesus, because we know Jesus was bruised for our transgressions. In other words, he was lashed with the whip, and the stripes came on him as he was lashed with the whip. And then they pierced his hands and they pierced his feet. And it was the matzah that Jesus lifted up during the Lord's Supper, during the Passover meal with his disciples, and he broke it. This matzah that was striped and bruised that we believe symbolizes his sacrifice for us. And then he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body broken, hallelujah, for you. What a beautiful picture. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for your body that was striped with whips and bruised and pierced for our transgression. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the Lamb of God that came to save us and deliver us from bondage and from our sins. We give glory, hallelujah, to the Lamb. Now, another element on the Seder plate is called the charoseth. The charoseth is actually a sweet mixture made of nuts and it's sugar, and it's fruity. And the reason that the charoseth tastes good, the reason that it's sweet, is because it represents, beloved, the fact that now we're free, and even though it speaks to us of the mortar, in other words, if you look at the texture of it, it actually is pointing to the mortar that the children of Israel used to make bricks in Egypt when they were slaves there, and yet we eat it now in such a way that it's this mixture of apples and honeys and fruit, and so today it's sweet, and the reason is that now that we're free and now that we're delivered, even those hard times have become sweet to us. In other words, even those hard times are tormenting us no more, and we can celebrate today in freedom, hallelujah, before the Lord. Lastly today, I want to point out Elijah's cup. At the end of the Seder meal, we put a cup out for Elijah. And the reason that we do this is in the traditional Jewish world, they're inviting Elijah to come. Because the book of Malachi tells us in Malachi chapter 4 that before Messiah comes, Elijah's going to come and announce his coming. Jewish people are still, in the traditional Jewish world, are still waiting for the Messiah. So they put out Elijah's cup, waiting for the Messiah to come the first time. We as Jewish believers and Christians that celebrate Passover together, we put out Elijah's cup, beloved ones, because we're calling upon the Lord Jesus to come again. We say, come quickly and come soon, Lord Jesus. Shalom Yedidim, and God bless you, beloved ones. We say to each other in Hebrew during this time of year, Chag Sameach. It means happy holidays. This is a very happy time of year. Passover is the celebration of freedom and deliverance. Historically, we celebrate how God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt 3,500 years ago. But today, you and I are celebrating, beloved, that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is bringing us into freedom. Yeshua said, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. Think of how much freedom He's already brought us into. We have a long way to go. But think where you were before Yeshua saved you as compared to where you are today. Certainly there's a reason to celebrate now. We found that ancient Israel would offer to the Lord a special Passover offering because of their love and thankfulness to Him during this time of year. We read about it in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 35, verse 16. Over the years, I found that many of you like to present to God a special Passover offering during this time of year because of your love for Him and thankfulness to Him for what He's done for you. I'm going to turn it over now to our senior administrator, Michael Hardy. He'll tell you exactly how you can do that, beloved. God bless you, and may your Passover offering, beloved, bring glory to God and blessings back into your life.